Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good, good. So the text that we're going to be reading this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Okay. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for another day, a day where you have given us life and you have made things new. Father, we just invite you into your house today, and I just pray, God, that as I speak, that that you would be glorified. God, let every word that comes from my mouth be from you, and things that are not of you fall on deaf ears. And Father, yeah, we just love you in this place. Come meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let me just reiterate a couple points from the passage that we read just now, starting from verse 2. And it says, God says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So what we just read was God's first promise to Abram. So prior to this was, prior to chapter 12, there was the whole, you know, the Tower of Babel happened, and then the whole storm happened, the flood happened. And so basically God was saying this, knowing that the world has just gone crazy, basically. And so this was kind of God saying to Abram, in a way, like, look, this is my remedy plan. This is my salvation plan. He's like, "I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, so you'll be a blessing. Those who curse you, I'll curse, and those who bless you, I'll bless. And in you, all the family of the earth will be blessed." So in a way, for us being descendants of Abraham, right, after getting adopted back into God's kingdom, this is, in effect, our legacy story too. And so, again, this is God's, basically, his conversation with Abram and telling Abram, look, this is my salvation plan. There are four more variations to this promise in the next couple of chapters where God reiterates and affirms to Abraham time and time again that this promise will happen. And God seems to up the ante every single time he makes this promise. In chapter 15, when God mentions this promise, and he's talking to Abram about his son. So since this is the third time that Abram has heard this promise, he's still seen nothing yet. You know, God has promised him, oh, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the ocean, right? But Abram's like, okay, well, I'm getting old. My wife is getting old. and you promised me this three times, right? So is it even going to happen? So Abraham then audaciously goes to God and was like, okay, well, can I just get one of my slaves to be my heirs? And God's like, no. What I promised, I'm going to make happen, you know? And so Abram's like, okay, he's a smart guy. And he's like, all right, I need a guarantee. So what God does in his loving faithfulness is that even though his nature is loyalty, he still makes a covenant with Abram. He didn't need to make that covenant. He chose to, right? And so it wasn't just like a pinky promise. You know, it's a promise. It was a covenant, and covenants are no light matter. Even in the ritual or the process in which they go to make a covenant is pretty intense, right? So God basically got Abram to get a young cow, a ram and a goat, turtle doves and pigeons, right? And so the ritual of this time was to cut the big animals in half, and the two people making the covenant would pass through the carcasses of the sacrifice to kind of to symbolize that this is what will happen to me if I were to break the covenant. So this is no easy matter. Making covenant is a big deal. But what's interesting was that God was the only one that walked through the animals. So he was making that covenant, right? And so Abram had fallen into a deep sleep at this point while God was making this covenant. And so, God was the only one that walked through these animals as a torch and as a fire pot. You know, that was how he was symbolized. And in this way, God is showing his nature in truth and faithfulness that he is the ultimate accountability. He is the initiator and the guarantor of this covenant. Okay, I'm talking a lot about this covenant because I just want to reiterate God's faithfulness and our need for his promise, right? One last part is the fourth time that he talks about this promise again. And what's interesting this time is that here it says in chapter 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. Okay, through their generation and through an everlasting covenant to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, in an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so right here what God is doing, he's opening up that promise to not just Abram, now it's to his descendants, and later on that would pertain to us as well as we're, you know, again, adopted into God's family. So all of this is to say that God's initial promise to Abraham pertains to us, telling us that we will be blessed so that we could be a blessing. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. And I just love how John Stock puts it in his book, Inhabiting the Church, and what he talks about Yahweh's loyalty. He says, in the end, Yahweh's loyalty overcomes all obstacles. God, whose way are not like human ways, who is free to let go of Israel and start again, has not and will not let go. Here is the quintessential exercise of loyalty. The one who is forever free chooses to remain bound to this weak and needy people so that they may bear witness before all that Yahweh alone is God. So now that we have a brief understanding of God's promise and the fact that he will remain loyal to his promise, now we beg to ask the question, are we, as Christ followers, are we a blessing to the land that we're on? Is it really a blessing to be a blessing? Are we blessed to be a blessing? And how are we to be a blessing? So I just want to respond to this in the light of Micah 6:8. And Micah 6:8 basically says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, which is to do justice, to love kindness. In some translations, it's loyalty. In some translations, it's loving kindness. And some translations, it's mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. And so when I read this, I was like, wow, what incredible news. Like, this is what, to see a community that loves justice and does mercy and walks humbly with God. Like, this is amazing. It is good news indeed. I don't need to go over the fact that God is one who loves justice, right? Like, even in his chosen people, he didn't choose the high and mighty, big civilizations, but he chose a people who were repressed, and then because of his nature of justice, he brought them up out of Egypt, right? And to talk about Jesus, He spearheaded the fight against classism, gender discrimination, age discrimination, poverty, and the list goes on and on. And even, in fact, this very passage in Micah, God recounts many of his past deeds where he revealed his nature of justice and of loyalty to them. So if you guys have time, go ahead. Micah 6 is amazing. But so this is God, right? But his people are to embody his same nature, right? Like, we're to be imitators of God. And so we are to have the same desire for justice and the same loyalty as well. In my mind, it was this grand picture, you know, this group of people that would do justice together, that would do it in a loving manner. And the grandeur of this thought often overtakes me, like the sacrifice, the voluntary poverty. It seems so bold and seductive, right? But when I went to put this into actual practice, even with the best intentions, things tend to blow up in my face. And there's a saying in Chinese, which is "Ho sum zhou wai si," which means good. Literally translated, it means good heart does bad things. Like, even though you have the best of intentions, you may end up completely messing it up. And that totally embodied me when I first started receiving the call of Jesus, and to when I tried to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So this morning will be an exercise of humility for me, and maybe some humiliation, as I share with you guys some of my experiences. Focus mostly on my failures of receiving this call, God's promise, his faithfulness, and, you know, and I guess things that I've learned. So the first story is about a friend that I met in the cut rooms, and let's call her Cece, okay? And Cece's great. She's hilarious. She's loving. She's a mother of two. But because she suffered a stroke earlier on, before I met her, she had a speech impediment. And initially, things went well. I visited her once every 2 weeks, and we got really close. And I prided myself on the fact that I was able to understand her. You know, sometimes, you know, I really think that it was just a blessing from God. Like, even though, you know, it was really hard for her to communicate. Like, she would say to me things like, "Oh, get the plastic from the plastic." And I'm like, and other people would be like, "What?" But for some reason, sometimes I would understand what she meant by getting the plastic from the plastic. And so in my mind, I was like, wow, you know, this is amazing. God is opening doors for me to communicate with this person. And I'm doing justice, and I'm loving mercy, and I'm walking humbly with my God. Like, yes. And so that was kind of my attitude, right, going into this completely, completely blind in a way. So it was good. Or the beginning of a relationship was good. But then it got to a point where we got close enough that she would feel comfortable to call me, you know, daily and even several times a day. And at this point, I was like, whoa, lady. I was like, personal space. It got to a point where I would cringe whenever I would see her call because I felt bad if I didn't pick up the call, you know? And so this whole thing about service kind of, you know, I had to start reevaluating this whole concept of service. Like, was I just doing this out of just because God said so? Or did I really understand what I was doing? Yeah, I would get frustrated at her inability to help herself sometimes. And I would feel tricked into picking up her calls. But then this was all internal, right? This was all in my own head. And so I'm just like, okay, so God, I'm doing justice. I'm attempting to love mercy and be loyal, right? But this isn't, I don't feel like this is a blessing, you know? I don't feel blessed to be a blessing. In fact, it feels like a burden. You know, and on top of that, there was that fear too. Like, oh, what if we don't communicate well anymore? You know, because I'm not talking to her. What if I don't understand her anymore? What if somebody else comes and helps her? You know, but no, she's mine. She's mine to help. And so it became really self-centered, I realized that even though I couldn't help her, I was possessive of her. And this was a time for a heart check for me. I realized that I couldn't help her, so I didn't want to be near her. Because in being with her, I would need to come face to face with my inability to help her. You know what I mean? And that's why, going back to the promise, right? God, who is eternally loyal, expects us as his children, as his imitators, to be loyal as well. And so I tried to, but I couldn't. There was no way, as a broken person with my baggage, you know, to just effortlessly be able to care and love and have compassion on her without God. And that's where we go back to Micah 6:8. It says, to do justice, to love kindness and loyalty, and to walk humbly with your God. And my serving had become Janella-centered as opposed to CC-centered or God-centered, you know, and it was an unbeneficial way of helping. It wasn't about her anymore. It was about duty. It was a chore, and I did it grudgingly. And so even though I wanted to experience community, I went in there with the best intentions, but because we are a people that need saving, we are people that need Jesus, it felt like a burden because my focus was not centered on God. So I was basically serving out of my own flesh. Sustainable God-centered service comes from a deep internal relationship with the one inside, allowing service to flow out from the love that you get from God onto the people around you. And I think, you know, that's what God meant by we would be a blessing in the land that we're in. We have to remember this last part of walking humbly with your God, because it's only when we are with God, when God penetrates us completely, you know, like from head to toe, inside out, that we are able to do what he has asked us to do in a beneficial and a sustainable manner. Does that make sense? Like, as God's community, he's the manual writer, right? And he's the one that shows us how we can do justice, how we can do mercy. And so this whole time when I was figuring this out, I realized that I was hurting Cece, right? Because someone who was so willing to help, who would, you know, be warm to her, I all of a sudden became cold and distant, and I didn't want to be around her. But the blessing for me was that even though I couldn't exhibit patience with her, she gave me patience. And she blessed me with so much of that grace that even after all this time having like to talk to Father God about what this issue is and dealing with it internally, she still loves me and she still calls me her friend. She respected my need to spend time away, and she totally understood. And in my relationship with her, I now know that God is doing his mighty work. And I realize it's his job to change the hearts of people and not mine. My job was simply to be there and to love. And God, he's so big and huge that he can even take my mistakes and turn them into something useful, you know? And in the end, I was able to even openly talk with Cece about my struggle through this. And I think that's amazing, you know? And because of her, I was able to surrender my abilities to God. I was able to surrender my tendency to want to control Cece and make things better for her. I was able to surrender my selfish grip on her and allow other brothers and sisters to be accountable for her too, because this is what's good for her. It's not just for me. And out of this whole episode, I was able to surrender even my job and my inadequacy at my job. I was able to exercise CC-style patience with other people. So me, intending to go in to do justice and love mercy and care for other people, in turn, I was the one that got blessed, you know? So, in the end, I was the one that got blessed, and I realized here that I needed a heart check. And that walking humbly with God means, in this passage to me, that it's a continual heart check. We are to obey the imperatives to do justice and love mercy, and we have to walk humbly with God, which is what makes this sustainable. And so I'm just going to tell one more example, one more story, and it's a little shorter. So basically, another time when I tried to do this was when I was coming back from work, not this job, another job, and I was in Wan Chai. And as we were coming back from lunch, I saw a lady on the street, and she was in a wheelchair. I ended up going up to her to give her some money, but then I saw that her feet were literally falling off. Like, it was so broken. Her feet were so broken, up to, like, her thighs. And so I ended up talking with her, and I ended up buying her lunch, a bowl of noodles, because she wanted some lunch, and then she told me again that she needed some diapers, so I went and bought her some diapers, and in the end, I got back to my office, like, 45 minutes after I should have been back. But it felt good, you know, it felt good that I was able to help. It felt good that I was like, oh, I'm representing God, so this is good, right? And in a way, I felt all high and mighty as well because I was able to do this. Again, heart check, right? Humility. The next day, I went back to see her again, and my coworker came with me because we talked about it. And this time when we found her, she started asking me for money. She told me that there were loan sharks that needed to get money back from her, and that her situation was dire. So at this point, alarm bells kind of went off in my head. It was like, oh, you know, interesting. As we were talking, this man who was observing us comes up to me and was like, hey, he basically tells me, he's like, I think this is a scam. And even the lady there was a younger lady with the woman that I was helping earlier that day, even she came to me, she was her friend, she came to me and was like, hey, you know, don't even bother with the money, she's just doing this, you know, she does this regularly, it's not true. And so, yeah, at that point, I was like, what? Seriously? I was hurt. And more than the fact that my heart was hurt, my pride was hurt, you know? I was like, wow, this is a failed Mother Teresa moment, and my coworker was there to witness it. And not only did I pay for her lunch the day before, but I bought her a big old bunch of diapers, too, so I got scammed, you know, three times. Like, I got gypped. So I was like, what, God? I was like, it's not blessed to be a blessing. You know, I got gypped trying to do what you're asking me to do. But then I realized, you know, like, I wasn't doing true service. You know, true service does not look at the results. True service delights in the act of service itself. In fact, if I were to walk humbly with my God, this whole thing would change. The perspective would change. I would start thinking, oh, that's okay, you know, at least she was able to have a bowl of noodles the day before, you know, at least she had a conversation, we were able to have a conversation, and at least I got to get her a bunch of diapers. And also, I didn't get scammed the second time, because by God's grace, there were two people that came to warn me about this, you know, so just with a mind, with a heart change, I began to start to see the benefits of humility in this whole process of working towards being God's blessed community on earth, you know? Like, it's so very easy for me to just be like, okay, God says to do this, and so I'm going to do it. But then in my heart, if the inner man does not do it willingly or understand, then the outer man is just doing it, you know, we don't reap that full benefit, and it's not sustainable either, you know? There's a reason why God says, you need me, because I am what's going to sustain your action. And it's incredibly true. So yeah, true service is free of the need to calculate results. It delights only in the service and can serve enemies as well as friends, even if they do scam you with a bowl of noodles and a big old bunch of diapers. It doesn't discriminate. This kind of service, you can serve everyone. This is the kind of service that God has intended for us, you know? And And to be honest, when we try to do justice or service in this world, when we care, it's going to get messy and it's going to get confusing. Good and bad might kind of melt together. Something as simple as giving money to someone on the streets becomes a painful ethical conundrum. You know, it's like, do I give it to her? Does she really need it? Will she use it for drugs? Does that make me an enabler? You know, all these things. But we just need to rely on the presence of God and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is the meaning of walking humbly with God. Like, God is constantly around us. He knows the hearts of the person that we're about to serve and our hearts as well. And he knows how to match us, you know. And so, yeah, it's only through God that we have the capacity to serve. And serving, it's not a short-term thing, guys. It's a continual practice, you know. If we are to be the blessings of God on this earth, that means this is a discipline for our entire lives. And, you know, since these stories that I'm telling you, it's only been, what, like 2 years, less than that, since these stories have happened. And even in these short 2 years, I feel like I've grown so much. And it's through service that I've learned so many deeper things of God, you know, through these people that God have blessed me to get to reach out to. And so that is being in the community of God. That is being God's, his chosen ones, where we are blessing to be a blessing and will be a blessing. They're just blessings all over the place. God's so good. So to wrap up, as imitators of God, we ought to follow his examples of being that king that rules with the towel, as opposed to a king that rules from high above, right? And God knew that his loyalty and his love would melt our rebellion, and his justice would give us purpose. And so, yeah, we can't be faithful out of our own ability, but we really need God to show us how to love and how to really care. And so I'll end this time by telling you guys a short story. So there was this whole Poverty Sunday, right? It's enlightened us to a lot of issues, especially the issue, the injustice of poverty here in Hong Kong. And I was talking with a pastor, and he tells me this story. And he's like, there was a little blind boy that wanted to cross the street. And being blind and having to cross a busy street, that's dangerous enough as it is already. So as he was crossing, someone comes and grabs his hand and brings him over to the other side. And the guy who brought him over to the other side was surprised when the kid asked him. He was like, are you Jesus? And so when asked, like, what do you mean, are you Jesus? Well, why you ask me that? The little kid's like, because Jesus cares. You know, it's very easy for us to just throw money at charity and stuff like that when it's really the person, it's God who cares about the person. And God cares about not just the people who are in need, but he cares about us as well, which is why he puts us together, right? We all have things that the other person needs, and that would help us grow and grow into the loving community that God has chosen to redeem this world. So, yeah, so let me just end in a prayer, and we can meditate on some things. Father, we just thank you for giving us this time this morning where we get to, you know, revisit how you intend for us as your church to be the remedy for this world. I thank you, Father, that your nature is that you love justice and that you are loyal and that you are merciful. And I just pray, God, that as we're sitting here today, that you would stir up in us a deep care and compassion for the things that burden your heart, God. Father, I pray that you would download your heart into us and show us the things that you are concerned about. And Father, give us hope and faith that even though sometimes we really don't know what we're doing, that you would lead us, God. I pray, Father, that we would accept this call to be your blessed community here on earth, and that we would walk humbly with you so that we can be a blessing to others. I thank you, Father, that you give us this incredible privilege to get to carry your briefcase to work. You don't need us to do that, but you choose to allow us to work with you. And in doing so, we get to see all these incredible things of you. So let's just spend a moment this morning asking God for him to deepen our compassion, for God to really, for God to give us his heart, and for us to really have a deep love and concern for things that are dear to him.
Jesus, weak. You wash the feet of the weary. Embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
Just as it says in this song, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us your heart to serve the ones that you have placed in our path, the way that, you know, the way that is beneficial, in a way of humility and one that is centered on you. So let's spend some time to pray for our community this morning who are battling cancer. Let's pray for salvation, people who are ill and also need the touch of God in their lives as well. Pray for the infirmities, non-cancer related people in our congregation who need healing. Let's pray for them. For our community who are looking for jobs, for God to provide for them. Thursday prayer focus. First, let's pray for Hong Kong and the Occupy Central movement. And the police are starting to clear people out, but let's just continue to pray for peace, for God's truth to be revealed and for us to recognize the image of God in each other throughout this whole thing. Let's pray for Hong Kong. For North Korea, for Chris and his community, for South Korea, our future church plant, and for Japan, Pastor Mitsunobu and Peace Sophia. For IP in the Well and Cascade. For the men and women's ministries, the men's retreat is going to be on the 31st of October to the 1st of November. Let's pray for covering for them, for the people planning the retreat, that God would give them revelation and it would be run successfully. For the outreaches that are going on tonight, SP Lights is going on outreach. Let's pray covering over them, yeah, and that God would bring each individual to meet with who He has planned. For House Church tonight, Austin West, Soho, and Robin Hood House Church. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your example to us, and for your love for us. And I just pray, God, that as we continue to live out this blessing of being your chosen people, your community, that we would, in getting closer with you, just be benefits to people around us, be blessing to people around us. And I just pray, Father, that the people around us would see you in us and be drawn to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you again for this day. As you watch over us as we go about our daily lives, and just bring us new revelation, God. May this day be one that is where we are in constant conversation with you. And we love you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So enjoy your quiet time, everyone, and have a good day.